as the four shepherds. We learned the parish of the Malbim, learned Zechariah, Pes, Perik Yud Aleph, Pasik, Ches. Yesterday we learned the Malbim, and we, okay, we have the Pasik really test. That's the Pasik test now. In the Malbim, which is on page 821. Okay, so we're going to learn now page 821. The Malbim Pasik test. V'oimar lo ere eschem. Hashem says, I will no longer shepherd you. She'oz sartzila me'alehem v'nimshu b'yad antiochus. Hatzorer. According to the Malbim. Malbim learns that the three shepherds that we're referring to here are the good kings of Paras. Paras had three very good kings that were very kind to the Jewish people. And those three kings, they were Koresh, Artach, Shasta, and the third king was Daryavesh HaParsi. They were good to Klal Yisrael. But when these three kings, when their tenure came to an end, it began the time of Yavan over here is referring to who was the tsarer of Yavan that caused a lot of tsaris. It was Antiochus. Hatzarer Ubutal Hatamid. That was the day when the Tamid was bottled. Vehemid Shikutz Mishoimim. And he put it in an idol in the Beis Hamikdash. Hamesa Tomus Vahan Nichedes Alidei Golus Alidei Hamoras Hadas Tichochid. Those that will die will die. Those that will be denied in Galus, meaning saying something very interesting to the Malbim, that the people in Galus, the reason why we're calling them Nechedes because they were Hamoras Das. They converted. Due to the difficulties, they converted out. Tichochid, Vahaneshadois, Tochal Meisha Espasa Brusa, Ki Haporitzim, Ochlu Es Haporushim Buchol Peh. Okay, it's very scary. This is an expression. Very fascinating expression. Those that survived, an Isha will eat the flesh of her friend. This means the Paritzim. Ochlu es hapirushim bichol peh. With their entire mouth. What does that mean exactly? I mean, it's quoting the Pasuk in Yeshaya. It's an expression. And here in his understanding, the Isha refers to the enemy. The enemy, the Paritzim, their enemy, they will consume, completely obliterate, and cause great pain and suffering to the Purushim, the people that want to maintain the tradition. At that point in time, I will annul the bris, which I have forged with the nations. Bal Yoreu Lohem, Hashem made a covenant with an Umas Olam, the Shnach was the Jewish.
Yes. I just want to ask, what is the word Sidlam?
Their image, the beginning, where are you seeing the word? Okay, the beginning of Sha'asar Tzilam Yalim, their shade, their shadow. You're asking, so what does it mean, Tzilam? Yeah, I just glossed over it. Loi Ere'es Sha'asar Tzilam Yalim. Hashem Tzilcha Al Yad Yiminecha. Okay, there's a pasuk that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow.
In this case?
I think so, yeah. Hashem, in the pasuk, Hashem is called our shadow, in a good way.
In the Gula. In the Chumash, Sartzi Lamei Aleihem, Hashem Al Tivya Aleichem Al Tiroh. Cool, this is...
That's for the enemy. Right, that part, that way it's in the past, referring to the enemy, the people, the Knanim, they no longer have protection from Hashem. Tzilam means Hashem is protecting you. He is behind you. He is your shadow.
But in this case, it was referring to Klal Yisrael.
No. V'omar lo yino klal Yisrael. This in the pasuk over here.
Yes, isn't it a continuation? At first, they had the good Persian kings, and now they were turned over to the bad Greek kings.
Right, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer protecting us due to our sins, as it said in the previous pasuk. Because Klal Yisrael no longer were faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem abandoned us, and He no longer was protecting us, and we were now vulnerable to the power and wickedness of our enemies. So in this context, Hashem is our shadow. Hashem is our protection. He is there for us. And now, at this point in time, when the good kings of Paras are coming to an end, and we're now under the authority of the wicked kings of Yavan, Hashem is abandoning us. He is removing his divine, his provenance from us. And that is expressed with this term, Sha'oz Sar Tzila Me'alehem. Hashem is taking away the shadow that protects Klal Yisrael with this new, the rise of the Yavanim. It's very interesting that according to the Malbim, we always associate Paras as wicked people. And here, according to the Malbim...
Well, no, it usually gets a mixed review. In the time of Haman and the libel and so on, and the whole thing of the reconstruction, that was the bad part. And then later, with Esther's intervention, it becomes okay. So it gets a mixed review.
Okay, but he on this page, no one said anything nearly as close to what he says. That's really giving him a very positive view. He's saying that the Persians were very good. He called them a Malchus Shel Chesed. He called them a Malchus of Chesed. Rav Moshe Feinstein was famous for calling America a Medina Shel Chesed. Right. And here the Malm is saying exactly the same thing about the Paras. The Persians, at least Koresh in the very beginning, Artach Shasta, and then the Yavish Aparsi, they were very kind to Klal Yisrael, allowing them to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And they're getting over here a very nice compliment. Okay, like we said yesterday, each one of the Dal Malchios has an opportunity. It doesn't have to work out for them bad. It doesn't have to be that they have to be destroyed. If they would just take advantage of the opportunity, it would work out for their benefit. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Yud. The next pasuk in the Malm is pasuk Yud. Vo'ekach, I'm going to take a smakli esnoyam ve'egda oislay. I will cut them down. Kimiyaz chufar abris ashokrati esoamim bal yoreil lochem kimiyaz eschil lochatzel lochem ulachalisim lashvidam when a kodesh baruch hu. When we lost favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he allowed the Umay Sa'olam to attack us. Hashem is going to remove the rod of pleasantness, meaning it seems according to the Malam, the rod of pleasantness is Paras. Paras led us, or we were a guest in their country, under their authority, with pleasantness. They were kind to us. They were Noam. And now with the Yavanim, it's going to be Chovlin. It's going to be destructive. The two staffs, according to the Malbim, are being divided between the Malchus of Paras and the Malchus of Yavan. That's very, very interesting. Okay, you have so many perushim as to what these two staffs represent. According to the Malbim, it's referring to two of the Dala Malchus. One is Noyam, Paras, and Chovlim is Yavan. Next pasuk Yud Aleph. Vatufa b'yemahu, on that day it will be annulled. Ritzon Eloimar, Shagam, Sha'achar, even though later I did come to a point where Klal Yisrael made peace with the Yavanim after the miracle of Hanukkah. So he says here another and very novel idea. The Achar Kach
made peace with the Yavanim?
Yeah, they conquered them.
Does that mean the bris between us and Hashem?
No, he's saying, look what he's saying over here. Let's read it carefully. This means that whenever he says the words, anyone of the commentators say this term, it means do not take the words of the pasuk literally. There's a much deeper understanding of what is taking place. They were good eras. Their Malbim is telling us that there were good times that Klal Yisrael enjoyed under the authority of the Yavanim and under the authority of the Romans. After the Hanukkah miracle, okay, he's telling us an historical fact. I don't know the history, but he's telling us that after the Hanukkah miracle, it wasn't just that we assassinated their leader and we fought the battles and were victorious and we took them and we destroyed them. We came to an agreement with them. We came to terms with them that there should be peace between Klal Yisrael and them. That's what it says. And Hurd is certain that that's a very long piece of Gemara in Masechta Bava Basra that talks about the peace that was made between, that Hurd is in fact went on to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So he writes here, even though it came a point in time when they renewed some form of arrangement, some form of covenant, al kol ponim. Look what he writes over here. Chufar habris bayomahu. Umeoz lo hoya bris kavua ki hufar b'chol pam. It doesn't matter. It still never was restored to a state where it was like it was originally, where it was strong, consistent, and reliable, which implies that until that during the time of the Persians, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an arrangement with the Umay Soilam, or we made an arrangement that they would not bother us, and this covenant was something that you could rely upon. Once that era came to an end, and we started the time of the Yavanim and the Romans, even when things are good, even when it appears that we are on very good terms with our host country, and they promise us they're going to take care of us, they're not going to harm us, they're going to give us rights, it's very delicate. We're walking on eggshells. At any moment, everything can unravel, and we are vulnerable. That's an incredible insight. Why? Because he's telling us that until the time, the Golus of Paras, it's more incredible for the Golus of Paras. There was a Jew can't have confidence. You can rely upon your host nation that a word is a word. If they tell you they're not going to harm you, they're not going to rob you, they're not going to steal from you, they're going to let you live and practice your religion, you can believe them. You can trust them. A word is a word. Once we entered into the era of the Yavanim and the Romans, a word is nothing. Just because today they're nice to us and they promise you all of these benefits, we all know, unfortunately, too well that tomorrow is a different story. You don't know what's going to be the next day. And that's how he reads these words. It reads this idea into the Pasuk Yidav. I'll read one more time. V'suva yamahu, return lemmer, sha'agam sha'acha kach hitshu es abris, kipam apam, im ha'yavanim b'mei ha'chashmoyim v'yakach im ha'ramiyim, b'mei hordis. Even though that we do know for a fact, when we look back in hindsight, that we did enjoy good times with the Persian, with the Romans and with the Yavanim, so what? It was never equal to the relationship we had with the Persians when things were good.
And those were very brief respites, right? Persia altogether is 52 years,
exactly,
right?
Right, correct, absolutely. So but even though it was
good
only
and
right,
bad.
So yet, right, what is yeah?
And the Roman era of peace couldn't have been that long. And,
exactly. Okay.
It was only a question of how long we were independent.
So you're saying over here that you're saying a very powerful idea that even though it was a short period of time, the quality of that time somehow it's so good, it makes many, many years of other periods of time insignificant in comparison. Many people can tell you this by their own life, about different times, their time. There are certain times in a person's life, they may be very short. It may be just a year, two, three, 4 years. There's something special about that time that it carries you for the next 20, 30 years. And then 20, 30 years can pass, like what happened, this, that. You don't have that satisfaction. Yet there are certain times in a person's life where the quality of life or your frame of mind is so pleasant, it's equivalent to 30 years of another part of your life, because you are settled, you are confident, you have what to rely upon. And what you're saying, Michal, is very, very true. The entire period of Paras was only 52 years. Yavan was 180 years. Edom, from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's already 1,951 years, not including the time that already Edom was already in control during the time of the Bayis Sheni, which can easily be another 100 years. So you talk over here that the Golos of Edom were already, and the Golos of Edom, from the time of the Churban, it's 1,951 years, but add another 100 years at least. So it's 2,051 years at least. Yet, the Pasuk here is telling us that the 52 years when we were under the authority of Paras, And it can't be all 52 years, because we know that the time of Achashverosh with Haman were not good years. So we have to discount that period of time. So what are we left with? 30 years. We're left with 30 years, 35 years, 40 years. I don't know the number of years. How many of those years?
In the historical timeline, a fairly brief period.
It's nothing. It's just nothing. Blink. The most you're dealing with, the most, I don't know the exact number, the most dealing with are 40 years, 40 good years, relative to 2,051 years of Edom, 180 years of Yavan, and we're saying those were the good old days.
Yeah, with the Romans, what can you say? I mean, the Herodian period couldn't have been that long, and Rebbe and Antoninus, maybe there was a respite, but not much else.
Exactly, but that's the Musa Haskel, that sometimes you have a short period of time in your life or in history, that period of time, the quality is so great and so meaningful and so significant, it overshadows long stretches of time that are just mediocre. Let's go further. Let's move ahead in the Vayedu's last small line on page 822 in the Malbim. Vayedu kein ani hatzoyin Hashem ha'osim, ritzoyin lemar, ha'chachamim ba'li ruach ha'kodesh, shohayu b'neim asher shomu mishmeres Hashem, heim yodu ki oz devar Hashem hu. At that point in time, the ani hatzoyin, which refers to the few and far in between of the tzaddikim who are faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will come to know that everything that is happening is devar Hashem. Very interesting what he says is that the tzaddikim are going to be able now to put the pieces together and see the Dalai Malchus. They're going to believe the nevuos of all of the early prophets of Yechezkel, Yirmiyah, Yeshayah, Daniel, all of the prophets will now come into focus. And the tzaddikim who indeed dwell and study the words of Hashem will come to acknowledge that indeed it is the Devar Hashem. They will know it is the Devar Hashem. V'yedu kein ani hatzoyin. Fine. Okay, part of that. Okay, that is so now. Once we mention the word V'yedu, I want to just bring out a point that's relative to Pesach, because it is after all Pesach. Let me get a point. It's relative to this pasuk.
Okay, where did you go?
Here I am. I want to get a chumash. I'm sorry. Okay, I have here. See, this pasuk is very fascinating because here it concludes in this little section that we're discussing. The suf abayim hu v'yedu kein ani atzayin hashoymer moisiki devar Hashem. They're going to know. This word das daya is a very powerful word. Where do we have it first in the Torah? Adam harishayin. Adam HaRishon, the first time he gets with the word appears is in regard to marriage. It says, Vayeda Adam Eschav Ishtoi. It doesn't say in the Torah anywhere that Adam, man, came to know Hashem. It says, Adam, he was connected to his wife, and that relationship produced a child. Let me go back to the passing of the Torah. This is a very fascinating word. Perek Dalet. V'ha'adam yoda es chava ishtoi. V'tahar v'telet es kayin v'taymer konisi ish es hashem. Okay, that's the first time the word das appears in the Torah. Every single day in Shemona Esrei we say chonenu. You, Hashem, bestow upon men das, knowledge. It doesn't say the word das. But the first time it says the word das in the Torah is in connection with Adam Harishon relating to his wife. The next time it says, Vayomer Hashem El Kayin. Hashem says to Cain, Hevel Achicha, where is Hevel, your brother? What happened to him? And he says, Vayoymer lo yodati. I don't know. Hashoymer Achi Anoichi. Okay, so here we have Das, man, in relation to his wife. And it says this was achieved between man and his fellow brother. The Torah is making a statement, Lo Yodati. Myself, a similar bonim. People generally have confidence, faith in their wife. The relationship of a husband and wife, it works, more or less. More or less, in this world, it is something which endures. Between man and his brother, man and his fellow man, Lo Yodati. I don't connect with my brother. Jump ahead. I'm not so sure we have the word das that many more times, but when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, Moshe goes to Paro, and he says to Paro, Hashem has sent me to redeem the Jewish people. And Paro says, what is Hashem's name? Moshe says, Yudke Vavke, he has sent me. And Paro says his famous words, Lo yodati es Hashem v'gam es Yisrael lo ashaleach. I don't know who this person is. I don't know who this God is. Lo yodati. I do not know. On the other hand, okay, let me actually just cite you the pasuk. Okay, lech v'yosafta. Okay, it's B'nai Yisrael. And there's another pasuk about, okay, this pasuk is not really relevant, that much relevant to our discussion, but Hashem says about Paro, v'ani yodati, ki lo yitein esrei melech v'shem alech v'lo b'yod chazaka. Hashem says about Paro, I know him. Okay, by Hashem saying v'ani yodati, obviously it has to fit into this discussion, but Hashem actually used that term exactly in reference to Paro. But when Moshe says to Hashem, says to Paro that Hashem said to let people go, he says, I don't know who this God is. Let me just find the pasuk. Okay, very much. Okay, here it is. Bomosh Yadal Paro, Koyama Hashem, Bayom Paro, here it is, Pasik Parakeh, Pasik Beis. Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma Bikoiloi, Lishalaches Yisrael, Lo Yodati Es Hashem. I do not know who Hashem is. The Gam Es Yisrael Lo Yashalech. Now, what's very interesting though is in Parshas Vo'era, when we come to the Dalid Lashonis of Geula, and there the goal is Lechein Emor Livnei Yisrael. Okay, Vilokachti V'yitzesi V'yitzalti V'goalti. What's the fourth Lashon? The Shlemus of the Geula. V'yitzesi V'yitzalti V'goalti Vilokachti. And what does the Pasuk say? Vilokachti Eschem Lila'om V'hoyisi lochem le'elokim v'datem, and you will know ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotziaschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. That is the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim, v'yotzeisi v'yitzalti v'goalti v'lokachti, and then what? So what? What's the purpose of v'lokachti eschem le'elokim? The purpose is, I'll be your God, and you will achieve the goal. The goal is v'datem ki ani Hashem Elokeichem hamotzi eschem mitachas sivlois Mitzrayim. That is how Pesach ends. The four lashonis of Geula. So what's going on over here? And before we get back to Adam Rishon and Chava, before we get back to that, when Moshe comes to Paro, and he says to Paro, let Klal Yisrael go. Paro says, I don't know who Hashem is. Games Hashem lo yodat. Guess what? The same way Hashem, Paro does not know who Hashem is, we also do not know who Hashem is. It's clear as day. We are basically in the same league as Paro. In fact, the Malachi Ashari said, Halalu Oivdi Avodah Zarah, Vehalalu Oivdi Avodah Zarah. We're all in the same category. We both Paro and Klal Yisrael do not know who Hashem is. What was the purpose of the Makos? The purpose of the Makos was to let Paro know who Hashem is. But more importantly, we were spectators. We also should learn who Hashem is. It's like Rashi, this is a famous Rashi, when Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu, he wanted to give Musar to Aaron regarding what happened, regarding the burning of the by the Miluim on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when they put up the Mishkan, and Nadav Avihu died, and the Karban Chatos was not eaten. Moshe was angry. Moshe wanted to vent his anger against Aaron, but Moshe didn't want to scream at his own brother, so instead he brought into the room Elazar v'Isamar, and he screamed at them. But who was he really screaming at? He was really screaming at his brother Aaron. Being that it's disrespectful to scream at your own brother, who's the Kohen Gadol, so he screamed at him in an indirect way by speaking to children, Elazar v'Isamar. But who are you really talking to? You're talking to someone else. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was that we should know who Hashem is. That was the goal. As it says explicitly in the Pasuk, and what is the goal of a Lokachti? The goal of a Lokachti is Vidatem ki ani Hashem. The goal is that you, Klal Yisrael, you should get to know me. That implies, can't deny it, that until this moment in time, we did not know who Hashem is. So why is Paro held to blame more than us? Paro explicitly said, V'gam es Hashem lo yodati. So if Paro doesn't know Hashem, we don't know Hashem, what's this all about? The answer is, Hashem took Paro. Hashem wanted us to get to know Hashem, we should get to know how Hashem operates. And he used Paro and Mitzrayim, who are worthless in his eyes, to experiment upon them, we may use those expressions, and to vent out his anger on them, and we would be spectators and watch Paro learn about Hashem. And in the process, we will pick up who Hashem is without being subject to Hashem's wrath and all of the harshness that goes along with this entire process. So now going back to what we said originally, the word is used, where else is the word used? It's used ben ish le ishtoi, ve odam yod aschavi ishtoi, and it's used also in reference to two brothers. Where is your brother Hevel? Lo yodati. I don't know where he is. What is it a coincidence that we use exactly the same term when it comes to the formation of Klal Yisrael, of Yodati by Paro and Klal Yisrael, as by Adam Chava and Cain Hevel? The answer is obviously not. The reason why the same terms are being used is everything in this world is just an opportunity to come to get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The relationship that a person has with his wife is in essence a tool, is a springboard to understand the same way I have this relationship with my wife and there's this understanding, it is a dogma to the relationship that I should have with Hashem. The same way a person struggles in his relationship between himself and his brother and his fellow man, that's also another dimension of his, of a dogma to come to understand the relationship that he should have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is the creator of everything. If three examples in the Torah where Hashem is establishing a relationship that is titled with the term Das, which are there only for the purpose to develop a deeper and more profound understanding of us, man, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There can be nothing more critical, more elementary than a person's understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has given man tools to open up that relationship. What are the tools? All of the other places in the Torah where we find a relationship is described with a term of das, that being between man and his wife, v'ha'odam yoda eschava ishtoi, between man and his brother, and where is your brother Hevel? Lo yodati, I don't know where he is. Don't, what kind of question is this? That statement, I don't know, is an acknowledgement of failure that you should have known who he was. If you really knew who he was, you had a relationship with him of value, this never would have happened where you would have killed him in cold blood. The statement of lo yodati is not a statement of denial. It's in essence a statement of guilt. You have to think, go a little bit off topic. When Hashem says to Cain, where's Hevel? So he says, oh, lo yodati, I don't know. So if you ask a kindergarten child, what does that mean? It means that Cain didn't really think that Hashem, thought he was naive to think that you can hide from Hashem and you can lie, you can lie openly, directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the simplest thing of the pasuk. Where is Hevel? Lo yodati. I don't know where he is. What do you want from me? Is that really true? Is that really correct? That Hevel, the Cain, who was the second generation the child of Adam, can be so foolish to think that Hashem doesn't know what you're doing? There's no person today that is so foolish that he thinks that Hashem doesn't know what he's doing, what he's thinking. Everyone knows that Hashem is watching. No, so what do you want from me, Hashem? I'm a human being, I have taiva, I'm weak, I know you know anyway I'm a failure, so listen, what do you want from me? But no one is so foolish to say that Hashem does not know. A person is foolish to say Hashem knows, and he doesn't care, or Hashem knows, and he says, no, ain't tzaddik ba'aretz ha'shayasa tov v'lo yecheta. To go so far to say that a person is such a fool to think like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not know, that's not realistic. If that's true about us today, how could we be so foolish to think that Hevel, or Cain, can get away by saying to Hashem that, can get away with it, I don't know where he is. Of course you know where he is. He killed him, he murdered him. So if that's not, so what then does it mean? It's not a claim of innocence. When Hashem says to Cain, where is Hevel? What did you do? Cain says, I plead guilty. I plead guilty. Lo yodati. I don't know who my brother is. I had no relationship with him. I did not value his life. I have nothing in common with him. He was a burden. He was a nuisance. He was an impediment. He was an obstacle in my success. Lo yodati. I don't know who he is. He was nothing in my eyes. And therefore, if he's worthless to me, that is why I killed him. The statement lo yodati is not a plea of innocence. It's a plea of guilt. I acknowledge I murdered him, and I'll tell you why I murdered him. Because he's worthless to me. That's the problem. The problem is, why was he worthless? Why didn't you get to know him? Appreciate him for who he is, what he's worth, and his value to the world and to you, then it wouldn't even have come across your mind such a thing to go to murder him. You don't cut off your own arm. Who's a fool to cut off his own arm, to cut off a limb? You got to be out of your mind. It's part of your body. Hevel has some value. If you knew who Hevel was, you wouldn't kill him. It's a statement of guilt. Lo yodati. The taina is you should have got to know him. This that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from humanity, that we should get to know each other, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from humanity they should get to know who their wives are, this And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Paro through fire and brimstone and makos and suffering and punishment who Hashem is. All of these are tools for us to learn who Hashem is. The goal is the Yotzesi, the Tzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti. So what's the difference? What's the climax? Vidatem ki ani Hashem. To come to a matzav of Das. Das of Hashem. What does Das mean? I don't know what it means exactly, but it means a relationship. A relationship between us and Hashem where we understand who He is, His Hanhogos. We appreciate on our level who Hashem is. That's the goal. It's explicit in the Torah. That's the goal. If that's the goal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us tools scattered throughout the entire Torah, things that are very easy for us to relate to, because Hashem is not easy to relate to. Hashem is spiritual. Man is physical. There's nothing in common between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How then are we expected to develop a relationship with Hashem? And the answer is, check out every other place in the Torah where there is such a thing as a relationship, and the same exact word is used, and we can use that as a tool to hone and develop our relationship with Hashem, starting with Ish v'Ishtoi, v'Adam Yodascha v'Ishtoi, man and his fellow man. And look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the nations of the world and brings upon them suffering for their indiscretions, their sins, their crimes, when we watch and observe how they become familiar with Hashem through punishment, we have the benefit of being bystanders and watching and not needing to feel the pain and suffering from this, and use that as a springboard to develop our relationship with Hashem. Okay, that is a Pesach drasha. That is extremely relevant for this pasuk, because this pasuk says that when, or at least according to the interpretation of the Malbim, and it's true according to all interpretations, however you want to go learn the pasuk, we only learn today the Malbim says, V'sufar b'yamahu v'yedu chein niyatzoin. On that day, when the covenant has been annulled, and Klal Yisrael is now going to suffer. See, it's horrible. It would have been much better if the Ummah Sa'ilam, they were the ones that were suffering, and we would stand by and watch, like it happened in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, when Paro suffered. And through Paro's suffering, we were able to learn who Hashem is. But this is the tragedy. The tragedy is that we did not pick up the message. We did not take advantage of all of the Yedus that are present in the Torah for us to learn how to develop our relationship with Hashem. And it came to this point where we have to suffer. And through us suffering, that brings out, over time, an acknowledgement of who Hashem is. It's extremely sad. It means everything has failed. Everything, all of the safeguards have failed. And now we've come to the last resort. To the way we're going to now know who Hashem is, unfortunately, is only going to be through this horrific punishment of suffering. V'sufar b'yamahu, period. And now, chaval, chaval, chaval. You could have known Hashem through being good to your wife. You could have known Hashem by being good to your fellow man. You could have known Hashem by studying history, by observing how Hashem punished the wicked. But chaval, you blew it. You didn't take advantage of all of the opportunities, and now you're going to know who Hashem is in a very painful way. It's now the sufar b'yamahu, and now, unfortunately, the yedu chein aniye hatzoyin Hashem emosi ki devar Hashem. Now you're going to know through suffering. You're going to know. And unfortunately, saying over here is not everyone is going to pick up the signal. Even that's not going to work for everyone. Many people, we know in the Holocaust, you can't blame anyone. they went off the derech. It's only few and far in between that even this technique will work for. That through the suffering, the aniyei hatzoin, you have to be from the elite who are the shomrim oisi. For them, it will be a last resort. But for other people, Rachman Litzlan, even this is not going to work for them. Okay, I felt that was very relevant to Pesach. That's why I went on this one off the topic. All right, let's now take a very short break. So I'm going to reboot my computer. I'm going to reboot the computer and take a cup of coffee. And I'll be back in hopefully in a minute. And then I want to discuss with you a little bit about Shvi Shal Pesach. Let's discuss the Abil Halacha. Because this year Shvi Shal Pesach is on Shabbos. And if we have a few moments, we'll discuss some ideas, some other ideas about the Kedusha of Shvi Shal Pesach. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to try to reboot.